Good morning, and welcome everyone to Crédito Real's third quarter 2018 earnings conference call. Crédito Real issued its quarterly report on Wednesday, October 24th, 2018. If you did not receive a copy via email, please do not hesitate to contact us in Mexico City at +52 55 52 28 9753. It is important to note that the presentation and the MP3 recording referred to this call will be available at www.creal.mx. Before we begin the call today, I would like to remind you that the information discussed in today's call may include forward-looking statements on Crédito Real's future financial performance and prospects, which are subject to risks and uncertainties. Actual results may differ materially, and the company cautions not to rely unduly on these forward-looking statements. The company undertakes no obligation to publicly update or revise any forward-looking statement. With us this morning from Crédito Real, we have Mr. Ángel Romanos, Chairman and CEO, and Mr. Carlos Ochoa, Deputy CEO. They will discuss some of the more important strategic, financial, and operating aspects of the third quarter 2018. I would now like to turn this conference over to Mr. Romanos. You may begin.
Thank you, operator. Good morning, everyone, and thank you all for joining us today. I am pleased to share with you the company's results for the third quarter 2018. This period reaffirms the good performance registered during the first half of the year and consolidates a solid trend towards the achievement of our objectives set for 2018. This quarter unfolded under a more stable macroeconomic outlook in Mexico, where consumer confidence reached its highest level since December 2007. The uncertainty in the country started to dissipate, mostly thanks to relevant developments. On the one hand, the favorable progress of renegotiation talks between the U.S., Mexico, and Canada, bringing the near closing of the trilateral trade agreement, USMCA. Secondly, a more optimistic picture of newly elected federal government's economic policy prospects. Likewise, it was particularly relevant for our payroll loan segment, the president-elect's standpoint on supporting the centralization of payments of salaries and benefits for public education teachers, despite pressures exerted by some unions. I would like to highlight the 31% annual growth of our consolidated loan portfolio, which amounted to almost 35 billion pesos during the period, as well as our net income that increased by over 25% when compared to the same period last year, reaching a total of 505 million pesos. On our operations in Mexico, payroll maintained a firm pace in credit origination, recording 1.7 billion pesos this quarter, up almost 15% year-over-year, mostly following the continuous incorporation of pensioners who bring stability and predictability to our interest income revenue stream. Similarly, for the used car segments in Mexico, loan origination posted almost 600 million pesos, almost nine times higher than the figure recorded in the third quarter 2017. Separately, the small business loan portfolio posted a positive growth of 120%, totaling 1.5 billion pesos at quarter end, supported by the launching of our new leasing product in Mexico, where we expect to consolidate a good source of revenue at a low risk, given the solid collateral underlying this product. Regarding U.S. cars in the USA, loan origination improved, and we remain optimistic by the higher synergies expected to reach through the launching of the Crédito Real USA brand. We closed the period with an annual growth rate of almost 20% in credit origination, totaling 447 million pesos. Moreover, the United States segment's non-performing loan ratio declined from 1.4% in third quarter 2017 to 1.2% this quarter. as we have succeeded in the implementation of more comprehensive origination policies. Consequently, we expect the segment's performance will continue improving in the quarters ahead. Meanwhile, InstaCredit loan origination was flattish year over year, reaching 791 million pesos, amid the surge of social challenges in Central America. In particular, Nicaragua, the political crisis has shown no early signs of recovery, and the social strife continues, whereas in Costa Rica, short-term concerns emerged, giving the public backlash against the recently approved fiscal reform. However, we are positive that the situation in Costa Rica will pass quickly, and in Nicaragua, we are taking all due measures to preserve our operation and our assets. Notwithstanding the challenging conditions in Central America, the sound performance in all our business segments in Mexico and the continuous improvement of the company's operational standards greatly contributed to strengthen the asset quality of our portfolio during the period, which coupled with the efficient implementation of collection processes enabled us to record a stable non-performing loan ratio of 2.1%, 20 basis points below that recorded in the third quarter of last year. Here it is important to mention that Crédito Real remains committed to uphold a strong risk management focus to preserve its asset value, recording a solid coverage ratio of around 150% at quarter end. The funding cost was 12% at quarter end, a slight annual expansion of 80 basis points, which partly reflects the increase in hedging costs associated to the coverage of a 30 million Swiss franc tranche of our Swiss francs bonds. Regarding the financial margin of the period, it registered an annual growth rate of 24%, amounting to 1.7 billion pesos. In this environment of positive results and a strong financial position, a very important development to announce is that the board approved and decided to push forward an aggressive share buyback program, given the mismatch we perceive in its current market valuation and our growth and profitability prospects. Therefore, the board decided to buy back up to $100 million worth of shares at open market. To conclude, so far this year, despite the uncertainty surrounding the arrival of a new federal administration in Mexico and some headwinds arising from Central America, the resiliency of our operations and broad-based performance encouraged us to walk through the end of the year confident to beat all the estimates set at our 2018 guidance. Before ending my participation, I want to congratulate Carlos Ochoa and his team, as they have been laureated in the rankings of Institutional Investor for their high level of commitment and professionalism, which day to day is reflected in the top quality service provided to our investors and our stakeholders. With this, I want to thank you again and leave you with Carlos Ochoa.
Thank you, Angel. Good morning, and thank you all to be part of our quarterly conference call. In this quarter, we reached an interest income of 2.6 billion pesos, increasing 24% when compared to the third quarter of 2017. This increase was mainly due to the growth in the loan portfolio, mostly supported by the credit origination in Mexico. Regarding interest expense, it recorded an increase of 24.4% year over year, reaching 833 million versus the 669 million in the same quarter last year, following a larger credit portfolio and the upward adjustment of the reference rate in Mexico over the last 12 months. This increase also reflects, to a lesser extent, the hedging cost of a $30 million tranche of our Swiss bond. The financial margin rose 23.8% to 1.7 billion pesos, mainly driven by the portfolio growth, despite the challenging conditions that our businesses in Central America are currently facing. Allowances for loan losses reached 472 million pesos this quarter, 33% higher than the figure recorded in the same period last year, representing 5.3% of our total loan portfolio. This increase follows the growth record along our different credit portfolio and partly reflects the measures adopted in relation to the Nicaragua operation. It is important to mention that in Costa Rica, we do not expect any surge in credit allowances as the situation is different than Nicaragua. Administrative expenses reached 941 million pesos during the third quarter 2018, showing a 16.8 increase when compared to the third quarter 2017, mainly following the increase in expenses associated to the portfolio expansion in Mexico for 83 million pesos, a 38 million expense associated to the staff downsizing and closure of branches in Nicaragua and Costa Rica, and to a lesser extent, a 16 million increase in the U.S. administrative expenses due to the inventory restructuring at Loncarro. This quarter, net income reached 506 million pesos, an annual increase of 25.4%, partly due to the change in the accounting treatment of the interest related to the perpetual notes, which reflected a positive impact of 58 million pesos. The net interest margin contracted 21.5% in the third quarter 2017 to 20.2% year over year. When it comes to financial ratios, this quarter the consolidated yield stood at 29.9% when compared to the 31.9% recorded in the third quarter 2017, following a positive shift in the product mix, where we opted to intensify the incorporation of high-quality assets rather than originating credit at higher interest rates. The quarter's efficiency ratio declined to 45.4% from 49% in an annual basis. ROE stood at 13.3% during the quarter, with its ROA reached 4.4%. Excluding the perpetual notes with equity treatment and registering the company's equity, ROE attained 18.5% this quarter. When it comes to the portfolio performance, moving in broader detail in the analysis of our portfolio dynamics, it increased by 31% to almost 35 billion pesos at quarter end, where SMEs and used car Mexico portfolio recorded the highest growth rate. Our payroll portfolio increased by 38% to over 24.2 billion pesos, mostly supported by the operation of Combinero, Credito Maestro, and Publicec. Our SMEs portfolio increased 88.3% year over year, totaling 3.2 billion pesos as of the third quarter of 2018, achieving an average loan of 2. Our used car portfolio increased by 6% year over year, reaching 2.7 billion pesos. This increase was driven by the expansion of our used car business in Mexico that more than offsets USA's performance. As of the third year of 18, used cars in Mexico represented 2.4% of the consolidated portfolio, while the used car business in the States represents 5.4% of the same portfolio. If the credit loan portfolio reached 4.4 billion pesos, which represents 12.6% of consolidated portfolio, and they originated close to 800 millions, or 12.4% of the total origination of the period. And finally, our best-in-class consolidated non-performing loan ratio contracted to 2.1% from the 2.3% registered in the third Q17 as a result of our comprehensive origination standards and improvement of collection procedures. Now, turning to our financial position, as of September 30, 2018, total assets amounted to 47 billion pesos, up 29.1%, when compared to the figure recorded in the same period last year, largely attributed to the annual growth recorded by the consolidated loan portfolio. The company's outstanding debt amounted to almost $28 billion as of September, up 12.8% when compared to the $24.7 billion in line with our recent issuing of securities that reflected our balance of senior notes and the optimization of some revolving credit facilities. Following the increase in total debt, total liabilities reached $31.7 billion at the quarter end, up 17.3% in an annual basis. To conclude my analysis on the relevant balance sheet items, as of the end of September, the stockholders' equity increased 63% reaching 15.3 billion. This figure accounts the recognition of the perpetual notes in the capital in company's capital stock. With this, I conclude my remarks, and now let me turn back the call to the operator to open the line for Q&A.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, we would like to open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, you may press star 2. Again, that is star 1 on your touch-tone phone now to ask a question. Our first question will come from Diego Torres, MCC Itaim.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. I just have a couple of questions regarding the Central America. I mean, you mentioned about the Nicaraguan operations and also Costa Rica, where you also operate. I mean, both can, in terms of Nicaragua, you're facing some political issues, and in terms of Costa Rica, they're also facing some, let's say, sovereign issues in terms of credit risk or fiscal situation. How do you foresee those drivers in terms of loan growth, in terms of non-performing loans? That is my first question. The second question that I do have is in terms of refinancing risk. I believe that you have something of 7 billion pesos that comes due in 2019. Considering the long growth in terms of loans and that debt coming due, how are you considering to manage that? Thank you.
Okay, well, when it comes to Sacred, the situation, I mean, the situation prevailing in Nicaragua, yes, as dramatic as it is, when it comes to Sacred, we have a portfolio which is worth about $30 to $35 million over there. Yes, the NPLs are spiking over there. Right now, the NPLs, specifically for Nicaragua, they probably amount like 15%. But the good side of the story is that about 85% of our customer base are making payments on a monthly basis, meaning that you receive cash from them. You cannot be very strict collecting money in a situation like this. So basically what we are doing is receiving partial payments, and I think that that's the right approach. So basically what, by doing this, we are limiting the total exposure of the business over there, in spite of the spike in the NPL, specifically for that one. In Costa Rica, it's a different, situation. We think that the measures that the government is taking right now are moving in the right direction, and probably we will see some improvements by the, I don't know, probably in the next few months. When you come, your second question was about liability management, right? You know, right now, the most visible parts of the liabilities that we currently have is the senior notes, the 2019, which are due in March, and we might be thinking to do something like that. Other than that, all the payments that we do, we are just going to roll them over because most of them are operational bank lines. I don't know if this answers your question, Diego.
Yes, just like as a follow-up in terms of the Nicaragua and the Costa Rican operations, I mean, you mentioned that the portfolio in Nicaragua is roughly between $40 to $45 million at this point.
That's correct. That's correct.
And in Costa Rica, perfect. For Costa Rica and Panama, what is the size?
That's the difference. If you look at that we currently have a portfolio worth about 220 million pesos, $220 million, that was the Costa Rica and Panama amount of the difference. With a higher concentration in Costa Rica.
Okay.
We believe that the situation in Nicaragua will affect the growth rates. Normally, the integrated business should be growing 15 to 20%, but with the situation prevailing over there, probably we would expect to be growing at 10% to 15% probably.
Okay, but it's, sorry, I couldn't hear you well. So you mentioned that if the situation improves in Nicaragua, you're considering to growth between 10 to 20%?
Yes. Normally, the Instacart business grows 15 to 20, but with the situation prevailing, probably will be growing 10 to 15.
But we are not growing in Nicaragua. We're growing outside of Nicaragua.
Correct. Correct.
Okay, got it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Our next question will come from Gilberto Garcia, Barclays.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for the call. In the past, you have talked about how you would like to have about half of your portfolio abroad by 2022. Given the issues that you have been facing in your current foreign operations in the U.S. and Central America, does that make you reconsider this goal, or would you say that the challenges are, I guess, temporary and just normal considering the recent start of operations there? Thank you.
We really believe this is part of the business cycles. In the U.S., we are going to make good money on our Fort Lauderdale operation this year. The Dallas operation will be almost even at the end of the year, which is good when we had losses last year. So I believe that our operations in the U.S. are starting to stabilize, and from there we have a good base to grow. In Central America, I believe we have a very strong position with the Instacredit brand, especially in Costa Rica and Panama. And we had a very strong and institutional branding in Nicaragua, but the Nicaragua problem will last, and we don't believe we will be doing a lot of more business there. But we can start accelerating our opening of branches in Panama and concentrate more in Costa Rica and Panama for the near future at least. And in Nicaragua, really, we're concentrating on collecting the portfolio we have. We haven't closed our branches because people believe that the business is going away if you do that. So we've been collecting pretty good, and we've been giving a lot of helping people a lot to make smaller payments or go through a longer period of time. But we're recovering much more than we thought we would with the actual situation and how it's going on. But we don't reconsider. We like having a diversified business, and the U.S. still is a priority for us in the future with the amount of Latin Americans there. We believe we have been through the curve of learning curve, and we're ready to start growing from a more solid base now.
Okay, understood. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your touch-tone phones now. Our next question will come from Diego Torres, MCC.
Itayu. Hi, sorry to take another question, if I may, but you mentioned about the share buyback program of $100 million. Could you provide much more color in terms of how it will be deployed, that share buyback, and also in terms of the sources?
We will start buying back our shares as soon as our quiet period ends, and the board last Tuesday authorized us all the way up to $100 million of shares to buy back. We believe that the PE and the multiples on the stock are ridiculous compared to the industry and to our competitors. So at this price, we're willing to buy back up to $100 million. The board approved us to do that during the next 24 months. So that's a two-year program, but we want to do it as quick as possible as the price is down. No?
Okay. On last, if you could provide any guidelines, or if you have some guidelines for next year in terms of loan growth, I mean, in terms of the main lines of drivers for Crédito Real, or that is something that is not defined yet?
No, we don't have any numbers yet. We believe the business will keep growing consistently, but we don't have any specific numbers yet for next year.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much. Again, star one to ask a question. Our next question will come from Natalia Corfield, J.P. Morgan.
Hi, good morning, everybody. I have two main questions. Starting with if you could provide some more color on what can we expect in terms of asset quality and provisions for next year. And for this year as well, and also if you could provide more in terms of margins of the business. And lastly, I have a question also in with regards to the fixed rate debt that you have, because I saw that in this quarter it declined to 41% of your total debt, and I was under the impression that you wanted to have a higher portion of fixed debt in your balance sheet in order to help offset higher interest rates in Mexico. So if you could give me color on that, that would be very helpful. Thank you.
Hello, Natalia. How are you? I didn't get the first part of your question, but let me. You were asking about the NPLs and about the margins. That was the first part of your question?
Yes. Given the deterioration that we have seen in this quarter, what can we expect going forward in terms of asset quality, provisions? What should we expect?
I would say that the cost of risk should remain at the levels that you are seeing. I mean, this quarter was specifically good. I mean, in those terms, I mean, you start seeing a downward trend, and when you net that out of the, you know, of the other income from operation, I mean, it was a good quarter. So, in terms of what we expect in terms of cost of risk, I would say that with a 4.5% net of the other income from operation, we feel comfortable in that sense.
Do you feel comfortable right. with your coverage ratio?
Yes, we do. Yes, we do. And we don't have much room, and we don't have much to say in those terms, given that we are following the, you know, the CNBV regulatory framework. So basically, that's how we are provisioning. So we have not much to say. But in those terms, what I can tell you is that, given that the growth, the portfolio in Mexico is growing faster than the portfolio outside Mexico, that's where you see the improvement in terms of cost of risk and in terms also in terms of the coverage ratio.
Okay. And what about the margins?
In terms of the margins, I believe that right now they should be trending upward. I mean, we believe that with the It depends a lot on the concentration that we have on Instacredit, right? If you look at the difference between this quarter and last year's quarter, is that the concentration in Instacredit went down from the 16%, which normally is, to less than 13%. That affects the margins. But even still, even with this, you know, the margin, the NIM feels above the 20%, and I'd say that it's going to be trending upwards to probably 22-23%.
Okay. And what about your strategy with regards to the fixed debt that you had in your balance sheet?
Yeah. The difference between the 50% that we used to have in last quarter was the amortization of the, was an amortization of the, of $33 million of a Credit Suisse facility, we might consider to increase that that portion. But as you can see, this is not the right time to do it. So mostly we feel comfortable with having fixed about 50%, but we don't expect to do it right now, given the market conditions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Natalia.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, once again, as a quick reminder, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad now. Once again, that is star 1 to ask a question. Thank you very much. Speakers, at this time, we have no further questions in the queue.
Thank you very much to all for participating this time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, this conference has now concluded. You may disconnect your phone lines and have a great rest of the week. Thank you.